with, again, a chance of showers. It's 58 degrees outside KLCO studios here in Santa Cruz. Time for hour one of the Saturday special here on KLCO with MZ.
Rick, what a pleasant surprise to see your smiling face.
Always happy to be here.
And you are here always here opening the
so I'm always
opening
smiling.
At 4 o'clock in the morning and anchoring Good Morning Monterey Bay. Anyhow, it's great to see you here, and I see the phones ringing already, and we haven't even started the show, so let's just do that.
Good morning, a brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today you know on KSCO Radio.
Good morning, world. MZ here welcoming you to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. We're going to be on the air right up until 12 noon, and it's an audience participation interview program. And I think it's going to be a little spicy today. We've got a really interesting topic, so we hope you'll stay with us and enjoy the program. And call in, too.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Recently, my mother Kay did a commentary in which she expressed her dismay over the continued involvement of our country with wars in other lands, specifically Afghanistan, a war now going on for about a decade. She argued that nothing good has been accomplished for our freedom and asked, how did those brave, foolish youth get involved in a war far from home to serve our country? She said that our country, our government, should help our returning soldiers financially and that ads begging for the public to help veterans are inappropriate. Well, retired U.S. Marine Corps Colonel Ed Leskowitz was quite offended by Kay's commentary, and he sent me a long email about it. So guess what I did? I invited both Kay and the Colonel to have a civil discussion on this fascinating controversy live on the radio on the next KSCO special, this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on, yeah, this is what makes your favorite radio station radio, AM 1080 KSCO. I'm so excited. It's just like the good old days when we had these controversial crossfire-type programs. It's getting harder and harder to get people from opposing sides to agree to come on the radio. I don't know why. I don't know why that's happened, but it has. And so I'm especially appreciative that we're having this program today. Welcome to the Saturday special. Hey, Ma.
Yeah.
Always nice to have you here.
Thank you.
The commentary that sparked this controversy is not available, but that's okay because you are.
Yeah. No,
you could
but
just
I
read
have
it yourself. You
I will.
Yeah. Okay. Now, so why don't you go ahead and do that, and then we'll introduce Colonel Ed.
With reference to our country's much too often and much too long involvement with wars, which our ancestors warned us to not become sucked into, will we ever learn to mind our own business? The war in Afghanistan now is going on for 9 to 10 years, and it's a war in a terrain which we will never conquer. We do not belong there, and daily we are reminded by way of TV how many young American heroes come home without limbs, having accomplished nothing good for our own freedom. One can ask, how did those brave, foolish young get involved in a war far from home to serve our country? That is a tragic, tragic farce. And there are other dimensions to these urgent voices from our leaders to our young, gullible Americans to go to war to a faraway land to protect our country when it's none of our business. If we need protection, why are we in Afghanistan for so many years? When American soldiers have completed their tours of serving and come back, why do so many of them commit suicide? Injured physically and emotionally, they discover that our country has let them down and discarded them. While in combat, they receive pathetically low wages, and if they have families, they suffer financially too, while those in our Congress receive at least a number of times as much wages as the soldiers do. There's a crazy imbalance in this picture. Our country should help returning soldiers financially. But instead, and by the way, I do, I'm always helping the paralyzed veterans and the disabled veterans. But instead, we the people are being begged by TV and our government to provide wounded soldiers, wounded warriors, with money daily. And because we help our veterans, our government does not to the extent that it should. Excuse me. Now we should demand that our leaders take less for themselves and give much more to our military and their families. And most of all, let's learn to stay out of wars that do not involve us. Osama bin Laden must be laughing at us all the time. For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
And it sure is. Colonel Ed Leskowitz, welcome to KSCO. You sent an email to me a few days ago, and I was fascinated by that email. Welcome to the radio station, first of all, and what are your thoughts?
Oh, I'm glad to be here. Listening to Kay's comments, there's some things that is assumed there in her comments that I feel the record needs to be corrected. Kay uses the words foolish and gullible. And to serve your nation. Actually, you're using the words foolish and gullible to be a warrior. Because the vast majority of my experience is 37 years in the Marines. And 50% of the Marine Corps are all first-term Marines. In other words, they're not career soldiers or career Marines. They come in for a tour and they leave.
Wait a minute. I want to ask Michael something. Can we have a conversation or...
It's such a difficult, delicate thing, Ma. The only way that we can do this orderly is to let one person talk within reason for as long as he or she needs to get his or her point across. And if you need to take some notes or something so you don't forget how to respond.
I know.
You know, then that's fine. But otherwise, it's just going to be a free-for-all.
Sure.
And
you're
so,
right. Okay.
We really need to do that. So, if you don't mind letting Ed finish with
my point,
you want to go through everything point by point, one by one, and then let Mom respond.
Yeah,
what do you think?
Can I respond to each one
when you're finished about the
foolish?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think they're foolish for being soldiers. I think it's foolish for them to go to Afghanistan and keep fighting for 10 years.
It's more so foolish for soldiers, though, to not to violate orders when we're told to pick up their kit and go to war.
but it's not their fault.
All right, well, you know what? Let me step in for just a little bit here. I want to ask some questions. Ed, I think you and I are nearly the same age. I'm 59.
64.
Okay, so you got 5 years on me, and you served in Vietnam.
Correct.
When you were serving in Vietnam, probably proudly, believing...
I enlisted in the Marines.
And believing that we belonged there. But I don't know whether you believe we belong there or not. You enlisted, and you did what you were supposed to do once you enlist. So I guess we don't need to even get into any of that. But
well, it is a motivation, though, that people don't understand and are very uncomfortable with in this country. And that motivation is as a young 19-year-old youth. And fundamentally, I am a warrior. I have a warrior ethic. I have a warrior understanding of the world. And whether we like it or not, this world is populated with a class of warriors. And it makes a lot of people very uncomfortable when they're dealing with people who are willing to give their lives for paltry wages. In fact, the wage is not the issue. Anybody who's seen the dragon, and I call the dragon the war, you can smell him, you can taste him. And the people who have served with warriors in war know exactly who they are. They're there because they want to be there. They have to be there. They're drawn to it. They don't have to be in uniform all their lives. But to say that they're foolish and gullible is not what their motivation is. Their motivation is something that...
So that's what was most offensive, those words probably, you know, right?
Certainly. Are there foolish and gullible people in uniform? Sure.
No.
Are there foolish and gullible people in not in uniform?
Mom, please don't interrupt.
I got plenty of chance to talk. I got a hunch. There's lots of foolish and gullible people not in uniform. But the fact is, I understand their motivations far better, more clearly, and maybe because of my time in the uniform, than some of the other motivations I see in terms of what people do for warriors.
Right. Colonel Ed, Vietnam was a very unfortunate period of our history.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no one will argue with that statement, I think, right?
Right.
And many people believe that it shouldn't have happened, that we shouldn't have been over there. I, as a student back then, going to school at UC Berkeley and UC Santa Cruz, was definitely of the opinion that we did not belong in Vietnam. What the hell are we doing over there? Because they're not attacking us and so forth. I wasn't what you would call a really militant, you know, protester like you heard so much of. I wasn't going out. I was more interested in covering the protests for the mm-hmm. student radio sure. station back then. But what the way it ended, it is was horrible. It was just such a waste. And 50,000 plus men and women killed from our country. And what's worst of all, the worst thing of all is the way people were the way they were treated when they came back. Both of you are nodding your heads. So I think we're on the same page here, Ma, and I got to say something. You know, you're my mom, I love you, but when I was a little, I won't say offended, but with a couple of, with a few of those words in your commentary, I said, wait a minute,
Well,
you were offended because you're part of the military and have been.
Part of the military.
I wasn't offended, but I was surprised. I was surprised to hear you say foolish because... You know, I can't remember.
I tell you why?
Okay, go ahead.
Well, because our boys are in Afghanistan for 10 years, but they're not the exact same soldiers that are there for 10 years. So I'm thinking that the ones that are signing up to go there... 5 years later.
There was a draft then, and there isn't a draft now. So that's right. Why you think people are foolish?
I'm not talking about Vietnam. I'm talking about Afghanistan, and there is no draft.
There is no draft, and so they are choosing to,
and I think that it was foolish for them to go to a place that we can't win. The terrain is impossible. Nobody can see where to go.
So you think the youth is foolish?
That's what I'm saying, that there's judgment, but not that they are soldiers.
Well, looking at the island of Iwo Jima, where 5,000 Marines were killed in probably less than 3-4 days,
mm-hmm.
Anybody who looked at that island, with 20-some thousand Japanese well dug in over 50 years on that island, if you want to see a foolish attack, somebody to say, this is foolhardy. But they took the island. The reason they needed that island was for an airfield, and they got the airfield.
Yeah, but we're talking about Afghanistan right now, and that's why I said I felt that the judgment was a waste, and it turned out to be a waste.
Well,
because they come back crippled and disappointed, and what are we doing there?
Well, those warriors are not; they're crippled. And they're disappointed, maybe.
Some of them kill themselves, too, don't they?
And about the same rate that the civilians kill themselves. Actually, if you take a look at the stats. I mean, I hate to tell you this. They're not damaged goods because they've been in war.
I didn't say that.
There's chances.
And we're still there. Would you mind telling me what you think? Is it a good idea to remain there? How much longer do you want to stay in Afghanistan? And what are you doing there besides fighting the Taliban?
Okay, well,
please tell me and tell everybody else.
What you're doing is walking away from your commentary, but I will.
I'll
go there with you, because for somebody who's lived in the Middle East, who's been there during the beheadings that Al Jazeera ran on prime time in the UAE and was highly rated as a prime time thing that kids wanted to watch.
Yeah, but see, you're going elsewhere.
No,
we're talking about Afghanistan right now.
I'm talking about the entire. You said Osama bin Laden is laughing. He's not laughing. Everything he's told his followership that you're weak, you're immoral, you're an infidel. Uh-huh. We have proven over and over again we can outfight them, outshoot them, and my son, who's in Afghanistan, been there for, this is three tours in Iraq, his first tour in Afghanistan.
My question to
you. You know what his measure of effective success is? He told me, he said, hey, Dad, you know, I'm doing a good job. Because the police force that he's putting together in Marja, Afghanistan, the reward for killing one of those police officers is now higher, paid by the Taliban, than the reward they get for killing him. Now,
you feel good about...
He feels good about that because he knows he's successful.
Okay. He's successful because he's doing something.
But how much longer
do you think we should keep staying there and having our boys come back crippled? Why?
How much longer?
It's 10 years.
Well, it's 50 years for Korea. It's 60 years for Japan.
But we're talking about Afghanistan right now.
Okay, and
that was what my commentary was about.
Well,
I feel sad that these wonderful young men go where it's the odds are against them.
Take our blood out of it and argue with your politicians. That's my argument.
That's very interesting.
The politicians actually want
this to continue.
I didn't say that. All I said is the politicians start
wars. That's the implication.
Marines and soldiers fight them.
Uh-huh.
And My point is you were using our blood, our shedding of our blood, as foolish as we are.
It breaks my heart. I love those young men.
But they don't
have a chance.
We don't make the orders. We follow them. And the people who give...
So it's almost like you were attacking the soldiers rather than attacking our government.
And that's what happened in Vietnam.
I should.
That's exactly what happened in Vietnam. We were held responsible, called baby killers, by... the greatest generation, because they weren't begging for us. We got off those airplanes, and we were thrown to the wolves.
This is new information for me, Colonel Ed, because I lived through that era, and it didn't seem to me that the greatest generation was calling you baby killers.
They were the silent majority.
It was the people in the schools, the demonstrating, saying, what the hell are we doing there?
They got away with it.
And I guess as time went on, the older people from the greatest generation joined
in. The silent majority sat there quietly in their VFW and American Legion halls and watched us come back getting eaten up. That's 3 million of us, not all of us were damaged goods. Watched us come back getting eaten up by these anti-war demonstrators, spit on. And I can give. I went to UCSC, so trust me.
Colonel.
So did I.
Yeah.
Colonel.
So did Kay.
Colonel. I graduated from UCSC.
What you hear today, this begging that you're worried about, that's my generation. That's the guys that came back from Vietnam who are saying, not this time.
Okay.
We are not going to let these kids walk back.
In retrospect, Colonel, how do you feel about that?
How do
you feel about Vietnam?
In retrospect?
Yeah. Were you glad you went there?
Yes. I had to go.
What did you accomplish?
What did I accomplish? I served with some of the greatest men and died with some of the greatest men I've ever met.
That's not accomplishing. That's being with them. But what did you do?
See, that's the point. What I did is I sat there and watched the end. Well, I'll give you a sea story. How about a sea story? You like a sea story about a little girl in Vietnam in Khe Sanh Village?
No, I just want to know if you think that it was worth whatever we lost in Vietnam and why it was so sad. A lot of guys died.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Why?
Vietnam was not a total disaster, and if you look at warfare in a finite picture, mm-hmm. and say, well, that's the war and the war is over and we lost, or if you look at Vietnam as a campaign in a much larger picture, I would tell you today that maybe our sacrifices in Vietnam were not exactly all that bad.
Okay.
And I would also tell you that little girl had her legs chopped off and carterized by the NVA so she could stay in that village and remind those villagers of what happened when they don't cooperate. That's after they killed her mother and father. And I came back to UCSC, and they called me a liar because the NVA couldn't possibly do that.
Well, wait a minute. Michael and Colonel, please, the reason that we're here now is that I said a few things that were
offensive.
Very offensive to you.
Yes.
And I hope that the first thing, when I said that they were foolish to do that, I didn't say that they're foolish people. I just think that if it's a war that's gone on for 10 years and it doesn't look like it's getting any better, then
the
why would they
foolish,
want to go there?
The people who are foolish are the politicians, not the soldiers.
No, the politicians are evil. They're not foolish. They know goddamn well what they're doing. So anyhow, that's
you call
one
them
thing
foolish
that,
youth. There was no... You called them foolish youth.
Because I thought they went there to waste their lives. And now, is there something else that I said in the commentary?
Well, paltry wages, we don't do it for wages.
Well, you don't do it for wages, but I think you deserve to get as much as what people who are in our Congress. You
more.
Should, and your families should get more. Your families suffer while you're away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's anything that you should be angry about.
Well, I'm just,
you should agree with me
you should have gotten more. But the motivation, here's the deal.
And you said you're a warrior.
Yeah,
that's
the motivation. The motivation is not those paltry wages. You understand? And I don't want
listen.
I don't want people to think. And this is that. What, and this is. If I walked away from your comment, I'd say, well, you got all these poor kids that those paltry wages mean something to, and that's why they're doing this, because that's the best they can do. That's a Senator John Kerry response. That's exactly. I can take that right out of the liberal handbook.
If the colonel got the wrong idea,
that maybe there are other people. Probably there are other people who got the wrong idea about what you were trying to say. We got a bunch of people.
That's why we should let them talk. Also,
okay.
Let the audience talk.
Are we?
I'm fine. There's only one thing, and I just want to hit the beg piece because that's.
Please do it.
Okay. My generation isn't begging anybody. My generation, the ones that came back from Vietnam, are trying to make it very visible that we respect their sacrifice and we're going to help them as much as possible.
Absolutely.
And
I will,
I'll
too.
I'll tell you, that chorus I did not hear in 1967.
Well, don't you think our government should help them a hell of a lot more than they are?
They do. The government is helping them. I mean, I think you're assuming they're not helping them because we're asking for money.
Well, I'm hearing it on TV every day where they're saying, begging people, please give $19 every single month.
But when I hear that, that could be a scam for money-making people who just want to take
$18 of that for themselves.
Well,
Or it could be the Wounded Warrior Society trying to make sure that these kids understand, look, I have 50 million Americans who are backing you, and they're backing you not with their mouths. They're backing you with their wallets.
Uh-huh.
They're backing you with a positive, tangible act. And all I ask is you tell me in 1967 one program that I saw that was, you know, nationwide that tried to tell kids coming back from Vietnam that were pretty shot up, a lot more shot up than these days, in fact.
Yeah.
And, well, most of us,
I'm sure
it's a very painful situation for you. Well, I found more communists at UCSC than I saw in Vietnam.
Hmm.
And I was in a fairly high traffic area.
Jeez. All right. You're listening to the Saturday special with MZ, that's me, my mom Kay, and Colonel Ed Leskovitz, who was offended at recent commentary that Kay made. And we're trying to – I think both of these people are on the same page. I really do, and we're just trying to – I'm trying to prove that here on the Saturday special. And we ask for your participation. If you want to give us a call and become part of the program, the phone number to call is 479-1080. If you're outside of area code 831, you'll have to dial that area code. If you want to send an email to me, that's mz@ksco.com. Let's see here. It's about 10:30, so I think we'll take the first call or two, and then we'll do a commercial break. So our first call will be Joe and Salinas. Joe, welcome to the Saturday special. You're on the air on KFCO.
Yeah, I tuned in just a little bit ago, but I did hear parts of Kay's comment, and I, too, was disappointed by it. The Vietnam War was an honorable war. Because you are fighting communism, which goes out and wantonly murders Christians, minorities, people who believe in God. You may be upset to hear commercials asking for money, but I see commercials asking to help Jews who suffered through the Holocaust. In fact, I gladly gave a donation recently. Now, it bothers me to see that and see those old people crying. But should Israel just give up? I mean, they're faced with enemies on all sides. Should they just say no?
You didn't hear my whole commentary. You think we're talking about the Vietnam? We're not.
Well, ma'am.
Yeah?
Israel.
I didn't say anything.
Israel has enemies on all sides. Should they just say no? We can't live here. We better just go somewhere else.
Of course not.
Well, then it's the same thing.
I don't see the analogy at all.
They're
not at war. They're not. I mean, they're in a place where every single country is surrounding them.
So
they're at war all the time.
Should they give up?
Of course not.
Then why should...
I'm not... why should we give up in Afghanistan? What I'm talking about.
Okay, ma'am. We should not give up in Afghanistan.
Okay, stay there then.
Can I break in just for a second?
Don't you care, ma'am?
Of course I care. I care more than you do.
Just because you live here and they live there?
No, they don't live there.
And you can go to your parties and they have to suffer
Oh,
there?
You are so twisted.
No, ma'am.
I think my young American boys that are going to...
They're not your boys, ma'am. They're men and women. They're not
whatever they are, I love them. No. I don't want to see them die for nothing.
Ma'am, what about they volunteered to go because they love not only this country.
Okay,
but
then I'll try not to feel sad for them, okay?
Ma'am, why don't you support them?
I do support them all the time.
You're not supporting them. You have the megaphone. You have the microphone.
I'm saying what our ancestors said. Don't get involved in foreign wars. It's none of your business.
Well, then we shouldn't support Israel, right?
What are you doing for Israel? I haven't heard. And you, Israel takes care of itself. What are you doing for Israel?
What happens when they can't?
We don't send any foreign aid to Israel.
Yes, we do, but we do the same for all the other countries.
Wait a minute,
also.
Ma'am. You're changing the subject.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
You're the one who brought up Israel, Joe.
Yeah. Why is it Israel bothers you guys?
She said stay out of...
You mentioned it also.
She said stay out of foreign affairs. You know, this is not a small world, and you can't just wait until they're tugging on the flag, because by then it's too late.
How long do you want to stay in Afghanistan, sir?
John Kennedy said...
I'm asking you a question. How long do you want to stay in Afghanistan and let our boys come home without arms and legs?
They're not your boys. Your boys aren't...
They're Americans. I'm talking about Americans.
They're not your... Don't try to make them... Diminish them as boys.
Yeah, this is so twisted, Michael.
Joe.
They're not hers and they're not boys.
Joe, okay, they're not hers and they're not boys, okay? Forget that. Answer her question. How long do you want to stay in Afghanistan?
As John Kennedy said, as long as necessary. The long twilight struggle. Those people have the same yearnings as we have.
What are you accomplishing in Afghanistan?
Let me take over for a minute. Colonel Ed, do you agree with Joe?
I think that we're going to be in Afghanistan and should be in Afghanistan until the Afghani people have an infrastructure that can support their own security. And that's not...
Could be five or 10 years or...
10 years, 20 years.
Yeah.
Could be 20 years. It could be a long-term relationship, but if you take a look at exactly where they strategically are located, and that's important, If you take where Afghanistan is strategically located, it is very, very important that we maintain a government that can maintain its international manners. Whether they have democracy or not, I don't care. If they have international manners and can maintain the international peace, then that's what we're looking for.
Okay.
Institutions that reflect their societies.
Joe and Salinas, thanks for calling the Saturday special on KSCO. Michael in Live Oak, you're on the air.
My question, can you hear me?
Yep.
My question is for the colonel. Colonel, you mentioned that the warriors, of which you consider yourself one, just follow orders. And you don't make the decisions to go to war and so forth. Well, I wanted to ask you, how far would you take that? I mean, in Germany, at the Nuremberg trials, many of the former Nazis or former camp people who were doing the dirty work, that was their rationale. They said, yeah, we were just following orders. How is someone expected to just blindly follow a government no matter what?
No. I mean, you're exactly right. I know exactly where you're going. I see that as a misperception I ran into in 1971, 72 in the UCSC, that all of us guys in uniform were some kind of bunch of automons that didn't have the IQ above a grape. The fact is we have lawful and unlawful orders. I was commanded in Somalia. I had to court-martial two of my Marines for acting outside of their orders. I gave them a lot of decision room, but I also made sure that all my Marines understood that within the rules of engagement, they were responsible, and these are 19, 20, and 21-year-old men that are there responsible for their actions and the actions of their men, and that they had a grave responsibility, a responsibility that the vast majority of people don't understand when you're that age and given 12 or 13 other guys that their lives depend on you. But no military man takes orders blindly. You have the responsibility to refuse orders.
One of the things, though, when I came of age, the Vietnam War had already ended. But, I mean, I remember when I was 18, 19, I wasn't so aware of what was going on in the world. I was aware of it to some extent, and now that I'm 53, I've listened to talk radio, I've read, I really, and developed an interest in world affairs and what motivates people. So at that age, I was pretty clueless, and a lot of, probably true of a lot of 18-year-olds, they go into something not knowing what they're doing. You would not be able to get people who are 40 or whatever, not be able to recruit people so easily once they've thought about their own views have become more clear.
They become less foolish.
Yeah, or just more cognizant of the bigger picture.
Right.
So that's one issue right there. I guess traditionally warriors have always been young, although not. Not always people can be career military.
Michael, I want to thank you for your call to the Saturday special.
Sure, thank you.
A number of other callers and some open lines at 479-1080 and area 831-479-1080. MZ with Colonel Ed and Kay on your favorite radio station on the Saturday special. We'd like to hear from you. Give us a call. Phil in Santa Cruz, you're up next.
Hi. Yeah, I'd like to make one point I think that's extremely important, and I think it's maybe a fallacy on Kay's part, and that is you can't look at Afghanistan or any other war in a vacuum. You have to look at all wars, and otherwise you can't learn from history. If we have lessons to be learned from Vietnam and from other wars, they apply to Afghanistan. That's my major point. Now, going on to some of the lesser points.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Well, what did we learn, please tell me, from Afghanistan?
From Afghanistan?
Yeah. What have we learned in the last 10 years?
Well, I'm talking about what we learned from other wars that should be applied to Afghanistan.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what one of them is.
Good.
And that's something we should have but did not learn from Vietnam. And that is, if you have rules of engagement that prize the life of your enemy or your enemy's civilian, be he innocent or not, more than the life of your own soldiers, you are asking for defeat. You're begging for defeat.
Mm-hmm. And I've talked to, I've you talked won't to, argue with that, will you, Mom?
No, of course
you, that's
not.
What you've always said. You know,
absolutely.
If you're going to fight, don't fight with your hands tied behind your back.
Right.
If I were to fight, I would want to be totally unleashed. I don't want an officer at my back questioning who I killed and why I killed them and should I have killed them. When I pull that trigger, I don't want to have to think about someone behind me second-guessing what I do.
Well, how can you, how could you do that? If everybody did, thought the way you did, there's no order.
War is there's very little order in war. War is General Sherman, who I think was our greatest military leader ever, once put, and I don't know if these were his exact words, but basically he said, war is all hell. You cannot refine it. And if you attempt to refine it to the extent that we have in our last three wars, you lose. You may not lose immediately, but eventually you lose.
You think we should keep staying in Afghanistan?
I think if it's in our interest, and I think at this point it is, that we should stay in Afghanistan for 100 years if it takes that.
Okay, but I wish you would clarify that, because maybe I'm stupid.
No, you're not.
The only thing I know that's happening in Afghanistan is that our people are trying to diminish the Taliban, which is a group of Islamic people who want to make trouble. And it's a very small amount compared to the people that are dying who are Americans. And this war is costing a fortune. And we're broke. We don't have any money.
Well,
so how long do you want to keep doing this stuff?
I've already said 100 years if it takes.
Oh, okay.
Let me address the cost. Let me address the costs in gold.
Dollars.
In dollars.
Yeah, go ahead.
The way our nation is dying
is
because it's spending too much money in the military. It's because it's spending too much money in other places, namely in welfare and social programs, which in essence actually make the situation worse.
Yeah, well, I think we're spending it in being in Afghanistan too.
We are.
It's not going to help anything.
That money, if we fight the war as if it were a real war and not take the lives of our soldiers for granted, but if we count up the kills and say if we have to kill everyone in Afghanistan to win this war, we will. If we fight it that way, the money then is well spent.
The Muslims will never give up. Don't you understand?
Ed just shook his head a minute. I want to hear why Ed shook his head.
Just to parry with you a bit on rules of engagement. One of the gunnery sergeants shot a Somali kid for stealing his sunglasses. And when he got back to the rest of the Marines, I shook that dink's bell, didn't kill a kid, just wounded him. But the point that I came down on, and by the way, I was enlisted, so they were being led by an officer that happened to have a few other officers behind him at one point. The reason I came down hard on him is because of the word gook, something I did learn in Vietnam. When you dehumanize your enemy, and pretty soon, if I'm shooting a gook, and that gook happens to be 8 years old, or that gook is carrying an AK-47, I'm just shooting a gook. You do not allow your people to ever dehumanize who you're killing, and you always want them to hold responsibility for who they killed. Because that isn't what separates us from...
animals.
Yes. The other kid, a sergeant, similar situation, In that case, he ordered a young Marine to shoot a kid that was unarmed, clearly unarmed. He had been armed, but he had discarded his weapon and was on the run. I wanted to make sure that my Marines were never, ever questioned about their use of violence. I also had a Marine who walked into a market area, bad guy with an AK-47 standing there intimidating the people, not necessarily intimidating him. One shot. One clear kill right between the eyes, dropped that guy right in the middle of that market. Good kill. And after that, we didn't have any gunmen in that market because they were afraid the Marines' marksmanship was a little better than theirs. That's how you measure your people's conduct.
Okay, let me address each one of those. The third case, yes, absolutely. The first case, I would tend to agree with you, the kid stealing the sunglasses. If that's the only reason he shot him, I tend to agree with you because it's an old dictum in war that unless you intend to wipe out the whole population, and that's what Genghis Khan did whenever he had trouble with the population, that unless you intend to wipe out the whole population, you don't want to antagonize people and create more enemies. So just on that grounds, true, the guy who shot the kid for stealing sunglasses
and
without a lie.
Here's the most important thing that you don't want to have happen. Is you don't want your Marines to live the rest of their lives wondering if they did a good kill.
No.
I mean, if you want to increase suicides, have them live for the rest of their lives wondering if they're guilty of major crimes.
Now, the second case, if you'll let me.
Okay.
The last case. I agree with your soldier. If that kid had an AK-47, it means he was a fighter. The fact that he threw it down and was running away means nothing to me because he'll be back shooting me in the back tomorrow. I kill him.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, thanks very much.
Sure.
We appreciate your call to the Saturday special. That was Phil in Santa Cruz. Here comes Helga in Carmel. Helga, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning.
Hi.
I had to get into this conversation because I lived through hell in Germany during the war. And I want to point out my father was a colonel in the Nazi party. He took the loss of the war in Germany very bad, and he had to clean bricks for six weeks with his uniform and no things on it. What I see in Afghanistan is a useless war, throwing money out there for nothing, because we will not win this war. The Russians already went in there. And it drives me crazy to see these young 21, 23-year-old men coming home with no arms or legs.
Amen.
And I agree with Mrs. Sterling 1,000%. We should get out of there. Our country is being taken from within. I want to let you know that. From within.
Yeah.
They have arrived at the gates. They're in already.
Yeah. So
and we are spending, wasting money, and this country is going down the hell basket. This is the greatest country ever on earth.
Thank you.
And
I agree.
Stand with Mrs. Sterling and Mr. Colonel. I disagree with you 1,000%.
Okay.
Because we now have three wars going.
Yes.
And this country is going down faster than you can think.
All right.
This was the greatest country when I came here. I took my citizenship. I was proud of it. And my father came over from Germany and said, the biggest danger is to keep democracy and freedom because this country will not survive it. And that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I get so emotional about it. I cannot tell you. I lived in hell for years as a child. They were bombing children, babies, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
There were no question asked, war crimes, you killed this family or somebody who got in the way got wiped out.
Well, they wiped out all the Jews also.
I lived in the war. We lost everything and had nothing. Hunger. And a war is hell.
Helga, you don't call very often, but every time you do, it's a riveting call.
I just get so emotionally involved in Mrs. Sterling. Every comment, you're my hero.
Thank you.
And I'm sitting here shaking just to listen to it.
How about my book?
If it has to take 100 years to win this war, it's insanity.
That was our crude cue to promote Kay's book. By the way, you're going to be here for like a half hour afternoon. If anybody wants to come down and pick up one of your books.
And I'll sign it.
And you'll sign it and inscribe it. It won't be just a signature.
I'll say something nice.
You'll say something. You won't say something nasty, even if they don't agree with you, right?
No.
Okay, good. All righty. Helga, thanks so much for calling the Saturday special.
I listen to your station. It's the best there is.
Well, thank you very much.
Happy Easter.
I wish there was some way for us to get in touch with you. I'm going to put you on hold. Rick, can you pick this up, Helga?
Okay.
If Helga will give us a phone number here, that's line two. Richard in Pacific Grove, Kay didn't mean what she said.
Yeah. Listen,
what's that?
Colonel, thank you very much for your service. I'm a Vietnam vet. I was on riverboats down the Delta. I don't know how often you listen to this program, but Kay is a true American. I totally know what Kay was trying to say.
She did.
Kay, I was actually a little hurt when you called it fools. But you didn't mean it. I know what you meant.
I didn't mean it when I said they're foolish. I just don't want them to waste their lives in something that is not going to get any better.
Okay, I know what you meant, and I love you, Debbie.
Thank you.
You are one of the best people I've been in contact with over the years.
Thank you, Colonel.
Colonel, I haven't talked to you before, but I appreciate everything you've done, and I understand your points. But please, with anything with Kay, she didn't mean to insult us, you know, or insult military people.
No,
she was just feeling the frustration of watching our people coming home wounded.
I knew that because I listened to Kay all the time also. But the point is I want to make here is that words count. And a lot of those words are used by people who do believe them and do think CS is, you know who they think we are, you know, because we don't fit in. And
I just wanted to check in and make sure that, you know, this is just a complete communication problem. That's all.
Yes.
Okay.
There's no way I didn't point. Thank you.
Kay,
take a deep breath, honey.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, can I make a – I'd like to tell
– Please.
I was a regimental commander, and one of my missions was to put some of my units out on floats. And the float is a 6-7 month deployment out on ships away from their families. And whenever one of my commanders comes back, he comes into my office and briefs me. Young captain standing in front of my desk with tears in his eyes asking me why – they wouldn't let him go in to East Timor and stop the killing. Those kids were ready to risk their lives to stop the killing of women and children. That's who's out there. They're not fools, and they're willing to throw their lives away for justice. They prefer to do it something they can see. But those are the people you're dealing with. They're not foolish. They feel it inside, and they do what they do.
Thank you, Richard. Appreciate your call. Robert in Santa Cruz, Vietnam versus other wars. You're on.
Yeah. How are you guys doing? First, I just want to thank the colonel for his service. He should know that my personal hero is my grandfather, who also served, so I would never confuse the difference between the people who fight the war and the people who send them to fight the war.
I think that's
an important thing to remember.
Yes.
But also, in terms of Afghanistan, I can see the point where Afghanistan geostrategically is important, especially if you look at it in terms of China and Russia and the future of oil in that region, the new pipeline being built through Afghanistan, just one example. But I'd like to ask the colonel what he thinks the geostrategic objective of Vietnam was. Is he still pulling the old party line that we were stopping the expansion of communism, or how does he feel about that?
Okay, we're going to go to my UCSC education. Very truthfully, now I'm not talking about as a military person. I'll talk to as a political science kind of guy. Okay.
Fair enough.
In terms of was Vietnam the right war to fight? Now we needed to do something, either economically or militarily at that time, in terms of the campaign against. Soviets. It wasn't Chinese. It was against the Soviet threat.
Then we pulled the Chinese in too, which maybe didn't help so much.
Well, yeah. We actually made a gain by that little move, but that was by accident, I think. But I think it may not have been the right thing to do at that particular time, but we had to do something to show that there was a certain resolve. Now,
so you think the Soviet Union was basically expansionist, imperialist, wanted to go outside of its borders?
And they saw, well, they did. Cuba, Vietnam, they were all linked. They saw very quickly, this is what I think they saw, which I don't know if we saw it, is they couldn't economically afford it.
And
I think that between Cuba, between Vietnam, and between Afghanistan, their industrial base and their ability to prosecute those kinds of wars. Now, the Soviet objectives in Afghanistan are clearly way different than ours, and so it's you know, there's no comparison.
Well, I would say they're overtly different than ours. I think when you actually look at the way we're prosecuting it, we have very similar aims, and we're going about it the same way. We're establishing permanent bases, trying to control the oil pipeline route.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's still about
Soviet. You mean Russian, right?
Well, Soviets.
I'm talking about years ago, because there's no Soviets now.
Well, no, but I mean, this during the Afghan War, the Soviet-Afghan.
Oh, okay.
Their objectives in Afghanistan.
We're saying that the way that the Soviets went into Afghanistan and the reasons they went in are largely similar to the reasons we decades later went in.
But with a much, much, much different perspective. I mean, in terms of implementation, we basically look at this as a British. And kind of a British point of view is that let them run the country. We just like to maintain the output. Output. And whereas,
which is sort of a funny idea and is something that, as we're seeing, completely doesn't jive with the cultural context and the whole way that place runs.
Well, exactly. And that's one of the issues that's happening right now. You know, one of my son's biggest problems in Afghanistan, he'll look you right in the eyes, is corruption. And that's down at a police sergeant level. So it's you know,
sounds like this country.
Well, we have our own meth problem.
Only a little different, because the people who are corrupt are speaking a different language than you. They have duties to their religion, to their tribe, to all kinds of stuff that supersedes any kind of bribe. Even if they take it from you, they're just as likely to take that money, turn around, buy guns, and come back and shoot you the next day. So it's when you talk about unwinnable wars. Vietnam, I thought, was as close as we'd ever get into an unwinnable war, and then we did Afghanistan. Right. Literally, the most unwinnable war you could possibly choose to fight.
If winning is, it depends how you define winning. I like to use the words, and again, this is me not talking as a following orders kind of guy.
Yeah.
What we want to teach is international manners. People need to run their governments consistent with their cultural and social organizations. But what we want the world of nations to do is demonstrate international manners, in the sense that we don't train people to fly planes into your buildings.
Forgive me for digressing. I've just got to know, Colonel.
What
you think about waterboarding. And then we'll get back to the discussion. I got to know.
Well,
Colonel knows it's torture.
Well, that's exactly right. It's torture. I would have never been able to do it. I would have never done it. It doesn't make any sense to me. And 9 times out of 10, if you get something useful out of it, just take a look at what we've got. It's kind of like Zagreb the other prison.
If it saves one soldier, isn't it worth it? Because anybody.
God help me. I shouldn't have done it.
I shouldn't have done it. Can't prove it does.
That's a whole show in itself.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you, Robert in Santa Cruz. We appreciate your call to the Saturday. Oh, gosh. I think I dropped him before he was totally done here. We only have less than 3 minutes. Daniel Watsonville, Leroy Santa Cruz, Mike Aptos, Jim Carmel, Wendell Aptos. Stay on the phone through the break. We want to hear from you. We will. But I want to read a couple of emails real quick. One from Ricardo. For Kay, she's right. She gives a link to PeggyNoonan.com. I think she was a speechwriter for Reagan, if I'm not mistaken. Our long wars have cost much in blood and treasure, and our military is overstretched. We're asking soldiers to be social workers, as Bing West notes in his book on Afghanistan, The Wrong War. I saw it last month when we met a tough American general. How is the war going, we asked. Great, he said. We just opened a new hospital. This was perhaps different from what George Patton would have said. He was allowed to be a warrior in a warrior army. His answer would have been more like, great, we're putting more of them in the hospital. So, all right, so that's what Ricardo has contributed. Thank you. And Rebecca Costa herself has written an email saying what Kay is saying in the subject line. What Kay means when she uses the word foolish is that it is foolish to invest in a losing proposition. You would not voluntarily invest your money in a stock that had no possibility of going up, or investing your life in a war that has no exit, no end, and therefore no possibility of winning. This is a valid definition of the word foolish. And we thank Rebecca for her email.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Let's see. What time is it? Oh, it's 10:59 here. So in 22 seconds. So we will come back after the news coming up in about 30 seconds. Right at the top of the hour, right after the news, we're going to have a new Kay's commentary. You're going to kick a hornet's nest there, also, Mom?
I have not intentionally.
Okay, great. So it's KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose, and throughout the world on KSCO.com. We will be back in 6 minutes, so do stay with us. Here's Fox News.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Riegel. The National Weather Service confirming the storm that tore apart the airport in St. Louis was definitely a tornado.
The storm caused significant damage to the airport.
The airport is closed indefinitely as a result.
St. Louis Mayor Francis Lay says at least five people were hurt. This guy was on board a jetliner when the storm hit.
Suddenly, we could feel the plane start to rock just a little bit, and then we heard debris hitting the side of the plane. And then it started rocking violently side to side, so much so that I strapped in.
The storm lifted a roof off the terminal building, 50% of the windows blown out, and a shuttle bus was tossed over the side of a parking garage. Todd Starnes, Fox News Radio.
The mayor is hoping to have the airport up to 70% capacity by tomorrow. The U.S. confirming the first strike in Libya from a Predator drone.
The Pentagon is not disclosing the location where it occurred, but we do know for a fact that in the very early morning hours, there were NATO airstrikes here in the capital, Tripoli. A little after 1 o'clock this morning, local time, we could hear NATO aircraft in the skies above, and then we heard anti-aircraft fire.
That's Fox's David Lee Miller reporting. Human rights groups are saying at least 76 people have been killed by government forces in Syria. The question is what Syria's President Bashar al-Assad will do now.
It's hard for him to ignore the fact that these protests are not only growing, but they're spreading throughout the country, and that the international community is watching. You know, President Obama yesterday called the violence outrageous and that they need to end, and that Assad needs to obey the will of his people and allow them the freedom of expression. But right now, even journalists aren't allowed into the country. It's very hard to get information out. And so the world is really relying on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube.
That's Fox's Rena Ninen reporting. Pardon me. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Fox and Friends Encore.
And joining us now is the author of The Naked Mom and co-host of Dancing with the Stars, Brooke Burke. Great to see you.
Great to see you too. Hi.
Well, I have to say that the cover's catchy.
Well, thank you.
You've got our attention. Yes, are you just naked?
I'm not naked at all. It's actually naked as in motherhood revealed in parts of me that no one has seen before. And for me, I feel more naked today in that honest approach than I ever have been. So it's really about my take on motherhood, how to raise a family, not losing your sense of self in doing that. And it's a book for everybody. It's a book for moms, for women, for men.
Right, and naked in so much as this is how I do it. I'm not reading a book. There is no operator's manual for motherhood.
Well, exactly, and it's not a guide. It's really about my experiences, the things I did right, the things I did wrong. A lot of inspiration for other women to take it day by day and to know that you're never going to be the perfect mom or the perfect wife or raise the perfect family. Right, so it's
fun. Get over it.
Yeah. Take it day by day and give yourself a break.
Don't miss Fox and Friends weekday mornings on the Fox News Channel.
More Americans signing up for the Army Reserve.
Just 4 years ago, the Army Reserve was short on soldiers. Now, Lieutenant General Jack Stoltz has more recruits than he can hire.
We use the term the next greatest generation.
The commanding general of the Army Reserve says patriotism and a desire to serve are attracting young Americans. So is a competitive job market.
Soldiers who said, you know, I was working at McDonald's, I was doing something like that, minimum wage type jobs when I deployed. I don't want to go back and do that. I can do better.
The Reserve Corps is also seeking out employers to consider returning soldiers for job openings. In Washington, Jared Halpern, Fox News Radio.
The New York City Board of Elections says Donald Trump didn't vote in any primary elections for 21 years. Trump, who's kicking around the idea of a Republican run for president, also skipped the 2002 general election. The last primary Trump voted in was 1989, a mayoral race. Trump told a local TV outlet in New York the records are wrong and that he's voted in every general election. Smelly, but extraordinary.
You don't bring me flowers anymore.
In this case, there's good reason. A 17-year-old flower in Basel, Switzerland is blooming for the first time. More than 6 feet tall, but that's not the reason it's not going to a flower shop. The Amorphophallus titanium, or corpse flower, tends to attract lots of insects. Still, not the reason you don't want to send it. It turns out this native of Indonesia smells like rotting flesh when it blooms. Despite this, the corpse flower has brought thousands of people to Switzerland to experience the fragrance. Ron Flatter, Fox News Radio.
Walmart testing home delivery of groceries. The test market right now is San Jose, California. Walmart To Go can place their orders through Walmart's website. Walmart may be looking to sneak customers away from Amazon.com, which launched a grocery delivery service a few years ago in 2007. I'm Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
11:05 on this Saturday morning. You're tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. I'm Rick O'Shea with an update on your Central Coast traffic. Also take a look at weather. Roadways are actually pretty clear outside, not having the best weather or keeping the crowds down, definitely. Had a collision earlier on South 17 by East Hamilton Avenue. That was a car fire. It has been cleared. And speeds on 17 a little bit slow right around the 85 connector, but it's pretty good getting down from San Jose up over the hill. No problems being reported. Highway 1 looks great through Santa Cruz coming off the Fishhook. No stalls to report or collisions to add to that. KSCO weather, a mix of clouds and sun, a very slight chance of showers. Highs will be in the low 60s today. Generally cloudy tonight with, again, chance of rain. Cloudy again tomorrow with, you guessed it, another chance of rain throughout the day. 59 outside KSCO studios here in Santa Cruz. Time for hour two of the Saturday special with MZ.
Your source for news, sports, traffic, and weather. AM 1080 KSCO, Santa Cruz, San Jose, Salinas, and Monterey.
It must be, it has to be, with that big sound it's gotta be, KSCO.
Does that mean we're on the air?
Oh, God! That's never happened before.
The introduction has happened.
Oh, okay. How much dead air was there?
Just seconds.
We're engaged in a I'm learning a lot from the colonel here. My gosh. It's a veritable history.
About warriors.
Yeah.
Mostly about warriors.
And about history, too, about General Patton and General MacArthur. I'm ashamed to say I don't know any of this stuff. I'm just an airhead.
Well,
it's
personal.
Well, no, not really.
Talking about when you were relieving nature's internal... Well, never mind.
Target selection for the nuclear bomb was driven by social decisions, not economic ones.
All right. Only one person, from on the phone, Jim and Carmel, remained on the telephone. All the others hung up. I guess they didn't want to wait through the news and through your new latest commentary and so forth. But let's just start our number two officially here so that we can continue.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call.
Now, this is what I would call a worthwhile radio program. Wouldn't you agree? Yeah. I mean, it's worthwhile. 479-1080 if you want to participate.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
This commentary is in my book. I wrote it on 11/24/2007, 4 years ago. It's about Dominican Hospital and also about Social Security. Since last August, I have had two spinal operations. The first was a failure, the second was a success. So I'm very grateful, and I am recuperating nicely. Something blessed also happened to leave me awed as a patient while at Dominican Hospital. The people who care for patients personally are not wealthy. I have asked most of them why they chose this profession, and all said they love people and want to help them get well. I see them as angels. So thanks to them for making my 3 weeks after surgery so loving and comfortable. And thanks to Dominican Hospital. I highly recommend them to anyone who must spend time in a hospital facility. Dominican is indeed a Class A hospital. Now let's talk about Social Security. Political leaders stay away from that subject because through the years, Social Security, as originally created by Franklin Delano Roosevelt in 1935, has been hijacked by the Democrats. For example, FDR said that participation in the program would be voluntary and that the money the participants put into the independent trust fund would only be used to fund the Social Security retirement program and no other, and that the annuity payments to the retirees would never be taxed as income. You may be interested in the following tidbits. Number one. Which political party took money from the independent trust fund and put it into the general fund so that Congress could use it, which they have been doing abundantly? It was Lyndon Johnson and the democratically controlled House and Senate who can take credit for that thievery. Which political party started taxing Social Security annuities at the rate of 85%? The Democratic Party, with Al Gore casting the tie-breaking deciding vote as president of the Senate while he was vice president of the U.S. Number three, this is my favorite. Which political party decided to give annuity payments to immigrants? Jimmy Carter and the Democratic Party. Immigrants moved into this country and at age 65 began to receive Social Security payments. The Democratic Party gave these payments to them even though they never put a dime into the system. Why? For their votes, of course. Then, after doing all this lying and thievery of the original contract, Democrats now tell you that the Republicans want to take your Social Security away. Back to the here and now. April 2011. Those on Social Security no longer receive a yearly cost of living increase for the past few years because our country is in dire financial straits. However, Congress continues to vote themselves a hefty yearly cost of living increase. Poor babies. For KSCO, this is Kay's Whirling.
What a great encore. What a great encore. And even you like it.
I like her all the time, actually.
Well, anyhow, so welcome back to, welcome to hour number two of the KSCO Saturday Special. I think we're getting where we need to be here. But it's a very, very interesting and intriguing program today. And we have some really super intelligent callers and emailers and so forth. And if you want to become one of those intelligent callers, well, I mean, you have to sort of be intelligent already. The act of calling won't make you intelligent. The act of emailing won't make you intelligent. But if you want to participate, it's 479-1080 in area 831. If you want to call, and if you want to email, it's mz@ksco.com. Special guest today is Colonel Ed Leskovitz and Kay's Whirling, my mom from Kay's Commentary fame. And by the way, we have 1,900 or so more books to sell. So we want you to come and buy the books. And by the way, and not as a charity to the radio station, it's $25. Yeah, $25 for the book. Not as a charity to the radio station, although it goes right into the radio station's bank account. And the radio station needs the bank account. And the more $25 Kay's book purchases come into the radio station, the better a radio station we can become. I mean, it's just the way it works. But don't think of it as charity to the radio station. Think of it as a damn good book to buy. You know, it'd be so wonderful. I'm not much of a reader, but when I thumbed through this book, I said, a brilliant person wrote this book. you know, and that makes me feel really good that I know that person personally. So anyhow, Kay will be here for a half hour after the Saturday special from 12 to 12:30. Won't it be terrible if no one shows up to buy your book, not a single person? That'd just be awful.
Maybe
I thought I'd just
Saturday.
Put it out. You know, we got about 1,900 more to sell, and you know, because we're money way, way down right now. Anyhow, enough of this crass financial discussion here. Jim and Carmel, welcome to the Saturday special. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, this is Jim from Carmel.
Indeed you are.
Thank you. As a preface, I was a former Air Force officer. I want to thank Colonel Ed for his service. It was courageous. But I also want to thank Kay for her very courageous service. My first point is I hope that in this second hour we won't start diluting the conversation with talk about Vietnam or Israel. Those are two entirely disconnected issues from the one we're talking about, and hundreds of books have been written on that subject. We're not going to add much to it today.
I agree, and I guess I have to be a more forceful host when the caller brings that up, up the analogy. So
good. My first point, though, is as a former military officer, I do not see a clearly defined mission as either articulated by our government, our civilian government, the President of the United States, and the senior military officers. I think most people are confused about why we're in Afghanistan, and until our leaders give us a clear definition that we can either agree with or disagree with, this problem is going to continue to boil and bubble, and I think that may be what Kay is also alluding to.
Absolutely. You said it well.
Now, the second thing that I'd like to say is regarding young men who are either foolish or courageous. I think those young men who volunteered beginning 10 years ago or more, and even 4 and 5 years ago, they were courageous. But I believe that any young man who enters the military today without this defined mission is very unfortunately foolish. I have a grandnephew who came to me because he knew about my service and said, I'm not sure what I want to do with the rest of my life. Normally I would have told him to go into the military. I did not do that, because I don't want to see this young man sent to a war in Afghanistan where there is no clearly defined mission, there is no end strategy in sight, and the idea of staying there for 50 or 100 years, in all respect to the colonel, is not a viable strategy. And so, you know, I'd be glad to hear his comments and hopefully maybe be able to respond to them if necessary. We need a defined mission, Colonel, and I don't think you would want to go into battle without a clearly defined mission, and Kay is absolutely right about this.
And thank you for spelling it out.
Mike, my turn?
Please.
Okay. First of all, if you take a look at General Petraeus's guidance and take a look at what's going on at the military level, really, it's even gone down below having a mission. He has a fairly clearly set out mission, measures of effectiveness and measures of performance that he measures the progress of what we're doing. Now, the question is, what are we progressing towards? The military is, and if you listen to him very carefully, military has never is not a force of democracy. What we are is a force of what I call international manners. We are trying to put in place, just like other countries have tried to put in place, a infrastructure within Afghanistan where we can reliably operate in our homes here and know that terrorists and money laundering and things like that aren't going to go through Afghanistan without more transparency in their government. That's not going to happen by 2014. It just can't. And if we leave it in its current case, let's just say we left tomorrow, you would have yourself a international terrorist state in probably 6 months to a year. Or you'd have the high side of that would be you'd have it breaking down into Dari, Pashtun, and a various few other tribal groups, and they'd all be killing each other, women and children and everybody else. But you'd have a civil, we'd either have a civil war, but we wouldn't have what we need, which is some strategic value, some strategic presence in that region. And I think that is why we're there. Now, I would agree with you that one of the things that our politicians muddled with is giving us a mission that has us immortalizing Thomas Jefferson. Those things have to be more specific. But I would also, when you say they're foolish, they're not foolish. They don't join the military foolishly. They join the military because that's what they do. That's what I did. That's what I'm 30 some years of watching Marines. That's why they're there. They're warriors. They're filling something inside of them. You can give them your opinion. In fact, I'd be surprised if your grandson is going to listen to you, because he's got that inside him, he will fulfill it. And I'm sorry that the world doesn't quite understand the mentality of soldiers. The beauty of it is they do outgrow it. 50% of the Marine Corps goes away every 4 years. We have a 50% turnover. And they go out and they do good things with the things they've learned in the military, like lead and leadership. But I just cannot attribute that warrior decision to a foolish decision.
Jim and Carmen, thank you for your call.
Colonel, can I respond just briefly to that? I was a volunteer. I had a warrior attitude, but I knew why I was joining. I knew what I might be fighting for. I had a nephew who was a major in the Air Force, had the same feeling. He gave his life in military service. So I understand the warrior concept, but it's not enough just to say I'm a warrior and therefore I want to go fight somewhere. A warrior wants to be able to accomplish a recognizable, meaningful mission. And that's why I say any young man who joins the military today is being misguided and being foolish. I'm not talking about the ones in the past. I'm not talking about the ones fighting in the mountains in Afghanistan. They thought they had a good reason. We aren't showing them that reason, Colonel. And just to be a warrior attitude is not enough. We can pick plenty of fights on the streets here if we want to be warriors. We need a mission. We don't have it. And until that is clearly articulated, this mess in Afghanistan is never going to be cleaned up. So hopefully you'll understand that and press your civilian leaders and your military leaders. I have great admiration for General Petraeus, maybe one of the greatest generals we've ever had, but your reference to him is tactical. He has to carry out his orders from the president, and what he's doing is semi-strategic, but it's mainly tactical. He's not defining what the overall mission is, and he can't. That can only be the President of the United States and the Congress, and they have failed us miserably.
Oh, boy.
Thank you very much for your service, Jim. Colonel.
I give you the MZ Award for the most articulate caller of the program thus far.
Hey, Jim, make sure that you encourage people, though, give respect to the kids coming home.
Absolutely, I will.
Not their sympathy, respect.
Yeah, I wear a flag in my lapel pin partly because I want these young men to know that's kind of a quick symbol that I'm supporting them, and I always will.
Okay, bud.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Right.
That opens up a line at 479-1080. After the commercial break, which we're going to do right now, we're going to come back with our resident warrior, big advocate for the station, Richard N. Watsonville, Zoltan in Santa Cruz, Mark in Santa Cruz, and Daniel in Watsonville. Where are the women? I don't think we've had a single female caller today.
Yeah, we did. Helga.
Oh, that's right. Excuse me. Oh, how could I forget? God, best caller of all. It's the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO. We're going to take a commercial break now. Should be back in a few minutes here. Please stay with us. A lot more worthwhile discussion ahead.
Spring is in the air, and you know what that means. Hello, Charlie Friedman here with Chris Jensen from JM Electric. Chris, spring is for sprucing up around the house and thinking about what kind of home improvement projects we want to tackle.
That's right, Charlie. And the easiest project you can cross off your to-do list is to have your home electrical system inspected.
Yep. Each year, over 53,000 electrical fires happen in American homes, and it's safe to say that many times the fire starts behind our walls where we can't see them. Luckily, I had a current safe inspection by JM Electric, and they helped me with problems I never knew I had.
If you're concerned about what electrical problems might be hiding in your walls, give JM Electric a call. We're happy to help folks out with a free assessment to see if our full current safe inspection is right for you. All it takes is a call.
There you go, folks. A free assessment of your home electrical system from JM Electric. Get this peace of mind for you and your family. Call JM Electric today and ask for the free assessment. 422-7819. That's 422-7819 or jmelectric.com. And tell them Charlie sent you.
When you go out to play it again and save lots of money. Hello, I'm Tom Frankel, owner of Play It Again Sports in the Soquel Village. You can save lots of money and have just as much fun when you play it again with the quality new and used sporting goods at Play It Again Sports. We're family-owned and operated in just 30 minutes from Salinas, Monterey.
It's a huge sale on water sports. We've got boogie boards, wetsuits, surfboards, and everything else you could need for water sports fun.
Play It Again Sports.
Check out our fantastic savings on new and used baseball and softball gear, from bats, cleats, gloves, and protective gear to pants, socks, and more.
Play It Again Sports.
For your home gym, check out our low, low prices on treadmills, ellipticals, and over 10,000 pounds of free weights. All at great savings.
You can save lots of money and have just as much fun when you play it again with the quality new and used sporting goods at Play It Again Sports. Right in the heart of Soquel Village in downtown, with over 6,000 square feet of new and used sporting goods, we're family owned and operated. That's Play It Again Sports in the downtown Soquel Village.
KSCO is proud to be a locally owned and operated radio station with a real staff, a real heart, a real soul, and a real personality. Because of this, KSCO is in a growth mode, unlike most traditional media. We are looking for experienced, talented advertising sales reps to help service and grow other local businesses in communities throughout the Monterey Bay Area. It doesn't matter if your sales background is in print, television, internet, cable, or even another radio station. KSCO is the place to be because we're growing while most other media is contracting. You will be hard-pressed to find a more enjoyable, satisfying, and creative place to put your sales talents to work than KSCO News Talk Radio AM 1080. Are you ready for a change? If so, I want to hear from you. Send a confidential email to me, mz@ksco.com. That's mz@ksco.com.
Issues and entertainments. That's local news talk radio for the Monterey Bay, KSCO.
Yeah, what that last guy said was right on. It's a great radio station to be creative and sell ads because we're coming up in the world, gang. A lot of people are beginning to recognize KSCO as the special station that there is. I'm telling you, I've got a vested interest for sure, but you ain't going to find a station anywhere, anything like this, even a fraction like this radio station, anywhere in the country, because everything else is corporate. Okay? What'd you say, Ma?
We have a soul.
Yeah. So wouldn't you, can you imagine working with Rick O'Shea? Can you imagine working with Rosemary Chalmers? Can you imagine working with Michael Olson? Can you imagine working with MZ? No, I couldn't imagine that. Can you imagine working with Kay? Working side by side with Kay? You know, helping businesses grow themselves, okay? Just like you listen to your favorite radio station, thousands and thousands of other people are listening to this same radio station, too. So I just want to amplify that. Give us a call. Don't do that. Send me an email, mz@ksco.com, especially if you are an experienced ad sales person with a newspaper or with a television or with some other radio station that's going down while we're going up, okay, because we need to talk to you, okay? Richard N. Watsonville, you're on the air.
Well, thank you, Mark. I can honestly back you up there and say there's no better position in radio themselves.
It's so creative. It's so creative, but... half of the job is doing the sale, although that's becoming less of a problem because more and more companies are calling us and saying, how do we advertise? We need people to help, you know, take care of them.
It's too much fun.
Yeah, exactly. You've done a lot of that over the years, right?
For the big guys, yeah.
Yeah.
I worked at Kadon.
Uh-huh.
So not too many people are going to talk to me about radio, but yet a whole lot of people are talking today about war. And the colonel there, I think maybe you should give him his own program, Michael. Yeah. Maybe he's laughing about that, but there's a whole lot of dots out there, Colonel, that need to be connected, man. You were there in 1967 in Vietnam, you said, right?
Right.
What rank were you in 1967?
Well, I went in as a Lance Corporal and came out a sergeant.
There you go. So you were nowhere near a colonel.
No.
Like Gaddafi.
No. It took me a while to make colonel, about 28 years.
Exactly. You were a war pig, man. They've made a song about you, Ozzy Osbourne and those guys. You were not a street pig like you're trying to talk like right now.
Mm-hmm.
These policemen are not like you. You're better than any policeman, aren't you? You're a Marine. How can you possibly compare yourself with a soldier? There's no such thing as soldier in the Marines, man. I take the young people
today, and I tell the young people
to go in the Navy.
The colonel is turning beet red now.
I don't care what he's doing.
Richard, let me tell you something.
The Marines are owned by the United States Navy.
Aren't they, Colonel? No, we're in the United States.
You're owned by the
Department
of
Navy.
Listen.
There's four services. Department of Navy has two.
That's right. The
Navy
Marines
and
are one, and you have nothing. You do what the hell the Navy tells you to do, Colonel. I don't know why you're laughing. You know it's true.
Well,
and you were.
Richard,
in Vietnam, what we did in Vietnam was very foolish and very cowardly, Colonel.
Yeah, well, Richard, I went out the belly with a lot of aircraft with the 82nd Airborne.
Well, that's
fine. Let me tell you, that's a bunch of
water. So why do you consider yourself a soldier, let alone? I mean, it's like that nutcase Richard from Pacific Grove that calls up, I was in Mekong Delta. Did you ever go to Mekong Delta, Colonel?
No, I was too far north for that.
Yeah, exactly. Me too. I was in I Corps.
Yeah.
I don't know where you were at, but in 1967, I was 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
1970, well, I went in.
Richard, this is great having talk here, but how does it relate to the subject of the program?
It's still going on to this day. You guys have brought it up to Afghanistan. We are the world's policemen. I think you guys maybe ought to get that old hippie lady song, Buffy St. Marie, and listen to that. Song, yes, Universal Soldier.
Oh, that one?
Universal Soldier, Michael.
Oh, Universal Soldier, Barry McGuire.
Because that's where we're going. We're going to an augmented soldier, a person that is an augmentee.
Can you find that, Rick? Can you find that on the what you call it?
It's a very
Universal
very
Soldier, Barry McGuire, or Universal Soldier.
No, it was Buffy St.
Buffy, well,
it was made famous by Donovan.
First time I heard it was with Donovan.
That's right. Donovan made it famous, but Buffy
was. If Rick can find it, Universal Soldier by Donovan or Buffy St. Marie or Barry McGuire or anybody, but then we'll play it. But Richard, thank you so much.
It was the commies against the capitalists. Right now, we're dealing with religion. And listen, Colonel. You went and did what you did so Mrs. Z can get on the radio and say what she says. And everybody else can get on the radio and call up right now and say what the hell they want to say. That's why you did what you did, Colonel.
Yes.
Killing is very fun. You get it down, it's even more fun than you can imagine, especially when you're with somebody that's done it before. It's always the new guys that you're worried about, isn't it, Colonel? You don't know if they're going to break down when the first round cracks right by your head, are you? You're not too sure about that guy, but you get pretty
Richard,
sure.
Will you let someone answer?
Richard, you and I both know that.
Don't say you and I, Colonel.
Okay, well.
The difference between officers and enlisted men is money, and that's it.
Okay.
You know that.
I know that. The
We do this for money, man. You don't pay us, we don't kill. You laugh, but it's true, folks. This guy's trying to laugh it off. He's laughing off your kid's death.
Richard,
I'm not laughing off any kid's death.
Richard, I've served with more Marines and died with them in more different places than different continents. And
be careful now.
You said you went on an airplane and went to your war, buddy.
I got on a boat and I went every mile and we practiced just for what we were going to do. And that was to kill people. That's what this thing's about, man.
Richard, thank you very much for your call. Appreciate it. Here's Zoltan in Santa Cruz. Zoltan, you're on the air on KSCO.
Hi, Zoltan.
Hi, Kay, and thank you, Colonel, for your service. And I surely agree with Kay that, yes, Afghanistan, it's time to get out of Afghanistan, okay? So when we were going after all the Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, we started good, okay? And unfortunately, the mission kind of creeped more and more and became a nation building. Those people who are in Afghanistan, they're illiterate. Even most of them are illiterate. Even the current military officers or policemen, they don't even know how to read and write, you know, to a grade four level. So we're way beyond our stay there. We have nothing to do with the nation building. We should leave there in a very short time. And if it becomes a local tribal board, let it be, you know, their war. We have no business being there. And the Muslims have attacked us. You know, the Muslims have created, you know, this hatred against the Christianity. And the liberals are very much on their side. They are using the Muslims as their surrogates to destroy the capitalist system, United States. And unfortunately, all the liberal lawyers are helping them. And I just feel like Helga just said it, you know, a short time ago. They are just trying to destroy this great country of ours. And our military, our navy, our army, they have better things to do. They should just come back and protect our frontiers against, you know, all the invaders in Mexico, things like that. And these are some of the major things. And also another, you know, caller called in. We do not have the economic base to support a war like that. And also, since we have an affirmative action, you know, crap-disturbing community organizer, leader, you know, quote-unquote. He's not even a leader. He just says, I'm present. And I feel just like Helga, you know, feels like every day that we are being screwed here. We have a bunch of morons running this country. And I escaped from a communist country. I went through a lot of things. And unfortunately, you know, the value of the dollar has been going downhill. Just a total corruption is going on right now, you know, in Washington. Just stinks.
Yeah, you're right, Zoltan. The president is present, right?
He's present.
The terrible thing is that there's a good chance that he'll stick around because
they're very good at
having people vote nine times.
Even besides that, you and I know a lot of people that we consider, or at least I consider, pretty intelligent people who will continue to vote for him.
Yeah, they think.
I haven't met anybody who voted for Obama who wouldn't still vote for Obama.
Well, we have a lot of brainwashed people. Whenever you just follow this, globalization path, this is what's going on: the destruction. The continued destruction economically of the country. We were screwed with this in our bailout, in our bailing out Wall Street, bailing out GM. Mm-hmm. What is GM doing? Okay, now we just bailed out a bunch of unions. There's nothing more than communist talks. Money laundering. Organization providing money for the Democrats.
Zoltan, I'd love to have you on forever, but we got so many other callers, so I want
to
thank
you for
your
call. Anyway, it's a great show, and I hope you're going to sell more books.
For bringing that up.
You've done a brilliant work there, okay?
Okay.
I appreciate every day of you working hard for this station.
Thank you very much, Zoltan.
Okay,
appreciate your kind words. Yeah, again, come on down at 12 noon if you want to buy Kay's book, and she'll personally inscribe. That alone is worth 100 times the cost of the book.
Hey, Michael, before we go, I'd like to one comment to Zoltan. No matter who we elect, no matter what politicians you put into place, no matter what policies that are there, you're going to get the finest military in the world. It's not foolish. They're willing to work for those pathetically low wages because that's what they are. And the only thing they ask from you and anybody else out there is not their sympathy.
Respect.
Your sympathy.
I want your respect. I have 100% respect for our soldiers and Navy people. Every time I'm in the airport, when I meet them, I shake their hands, tell them, thank you for your service. Many times I know, let me buy some chocolate, take it to your girlfriend or honey, whatever, see if I can buy you a lunch, whatever,
Well, they're a special breed and they're different.
I love them all. I just hope they would have, a decent person at the chain of command on the top who would actually respect this country because unfortunately, they don't have a good leader right now.
All right, thank you, Zoltan. That opens up a line at 479-1080. And we have two women callers, Cindy from Salinas and Tammy from Las Vegas. And but even before we get to those callers, Rick O'Shea tells me he has the tune, the Donovan tune. So let's hear at least part of it, okay?
He's 5 foot 2 and he's 6 feet 4. He fights with missiles and with spears. He's all of 31 and he's only 17. He's been a soldier for 1,000 years. He's a Catholic, a Hindu, an atheist, a Jain, a Buddhist and a Baptist and a Jew. And he knows he shouldn't kill, and he knows he always will kill you for me, my friend, and me for you. And he's fighting for Canada, he's fighting for France, he's fighting for the USA. And he's fighting for the Russians, and he's fighting for Japan, and he thinks we'll put an end to war this way. And he's fighting for democracy, he's fighting for the Reds, he says it's for the peace of all. He's the one who must decide who's to live and who's to die, and he never sees the writing on the wall. But without him, how would Hitler have condemned him at Lobau? Without him, Caesar would have stood alone. He's the one who gives his body as a weapon of the war, and without him, all this killing can't go on. He's the universal soldier, and he really is to blame. His orders come from far away no more. They come from here and there, and you and me. And brothers, can't you see? This is not the way we put the end to war.
Cindy and Salinas, you're on the air.
Hi. that was a powerful song. I've heard it before. Okay, I'll try to be brief. In the beginning, we were attacked. And our President Bush, who I still admire, kept throwing out the word freedom and liberate. And when we went to Afghanistan, I thought, where the heck is Afghanistan? So I got out my world atlas and I looked for it. And I found it and I thought, wow, it's kind of in the middle of the Middle East, sort of. And then when we went to Iraq, I did the same thing. And I went, wow, that's also in the middle of the Middle East. And we've had problems with people in the Middle East. So I thought, wow, that is a strategic location, especially if we have to defend ourselves from Iran. In the meantime, I'm thinking about President Bush's words about people in their hearts want to be free. And he kept talking about liberating these people. But other people ignored this. So now we're in Afghanistan and we're in Iraq, and things are actually, I think, getting better because we're rebuilding. We also were building a big military base, I think, in Iraq. And the idea of liberation is spreading, as Bush hoped it would, to other countries. We have Syria and Libya and a couple other places where people are actually going out in the streets and laying down their lives to try to get out of the oppressed dictatorship that they've been under for years. The sad thing is, while we're trying to help these people, our government is taking away our freedoms, and that breaks my heart. And anytime, what I think Richard said about policing the world, that's what we're ending up doing, and we're weakening our own country in the process, and it's sad. But the truth is that there is a society of people that do want to take over the world, again, same as Hitler and others. They have strategically put people in other countries, including ours, and they attacked us. And our wonderful military men and women also, in their hearts, want to be free. And they're not only doing it for other countries, they believe they're doing it for us. Sadly, we're losing our freedoms.
Well said.
And we are also, if you remember, we are in the Philippines, we are in Japan, we are in Germany, we're in Guam, and those are a few. I know we're in like over 150 countries continuing to influence. We don't decide their government, but we are there supposedly to try to help the oppressed people to have a decent life.
That's nice. Cindy, in the meantime, we're going broke.
Cindy, thank you so much for your call. We have so many other callers, and we have commercial stops that we have to do now.
Okay.
So we'll
We are there for good reasons, Kay. I know you're a war-weary armchair quarterback, and I'm with you there. But we are there for good reasons.
I know.
The best will come. Good is already coming out of it, Have a wonderful Passover.
Before we go to Tammy in Las Vegas, we're going to take a commercial break, and we will be back in just a few minutes. So stay with us, please.
The Palo Alto Medical Foundation Santa Cruz and Sutter Maternity and Surgery Center are pleased to present the 14th Annual Senior Health Fair on Saturday, April 30th. From 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Sutter Maternity and Surgery Center, 2900 Chanticleer Avenue in Santa Cruz. The event is open to the senior community and is free. For more information about the Senior Health Fair on Saturday, April 30th, call 479-6629 or visit pamf.org/senior health. The beautiful Casablanca Restaurant and Inn invites you to join them as spring unfolds. Casablanca's famous Easter and Mother's Day brunch are just two reasons to bring your friends and loved ones for an experience you'll remember forever. Casablanca's classically modern menu and chef specials guarantee you'll be sharing these moments with everyone you talk to. The Casablanca for Easter and Mother's Day brunch, and anytime. Call the Casablanca Restaurant at 831-426-9063.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Hello, Charlie Friedman here. Listen to the things your friends and neighbors are doing for themselves with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Xbox 360 repair.
Solar energy kits. Musical Tesla coil.
Video output for my home media center.
Building a new server.
Repairing a student radio station.
More RAM and a sound card.
DSL line.
Network printing, scanning, and faxing for dentists.
Replacing antivirus on 12 machines.
Wireless network for court reporter agency.
Diagnosing sound card problem.
Building a 5-kilowatt amplifier.
Ham radio antenna.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Voted best electronics store 2 years running. Call Santa Cruz Electronics today at 831-479-5444 or visit at 2808 SoCal Avenue in Santa Cruz. Do it yourself and save money with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Pull your boat and take your bathroom and bedroom with you. You can pull up to 8,100 pounds in a new, fully contained Road Trek RV that gets 22 to 24 miles per gallon. Road Trek has it all in 17 feet. Double bed, bathroom, shower, and kitchen. You can park it anywhere, and it's as easy to drive as your second car.
Hi, this is Jim Eberhardt, the Road Trek manager at Seagram's RVs in San Martin. Call me today to schedule a test drive in a new Road Trek RV. 888-868-1980. Seagram's at Seagram's RV.
You're listening to KSCO, serving SoCal, Soledad, and Lucia.
Okay, we're back, and as promised, Tammy from Las Vegas. Are you really in Las Vegas, Tammy?
Yeah, I'm really in Las Vegas. I've been here for 46 days, actually.
Huh?
That's why I haven't been calling in for a while.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, you're in that. And listen, I hate to do this. We've got six people, including my good friend SoCal Bob, and we promise we're going to get everybody in, but we're going to have to limit it to like 1 minute per person. So including you. So go.
Okay, I was hoping maybe you could loan me an antenna and we could set up a sister station here. Anyway, there's a great amount of activity happening. This city is just unbelievable in terms of the business. You know, there's 40
sure.
million tourists.
Well, we want to keep to
here.
The topic, please, Tammy, because
okay,
there's so
well,
many people.
Okay, well, since you gave me 1 minute, that was my first thought. But, Richard talked about that the problem now is religion. And it becomes very complicated when religion is involved with wars and the fact that we're involved in ethnic conflicts in Bosnia, all these things that have happened. You know, it being Easter weekend, I implore you to consider that we at this time, no matter what religion you come from, be it, Muslim background, everything, we have to respect the ideas that come through religion in terms of, I think the number one point is if we truly as a Christian nation, basically, right, kind of overall, were to live by the standard of love your enemy, if we truly practice this precept, we would not be invading other countries trying to supposedly protect them, that we would find better ways to love our enemies than to try to take over their governments and tell them how to live. So that's the main point I wanted to make.
And thank you for making it on KSU.
God bless us all. Happy
you
Easter.
Too. Take
thank
care.
You,
you too. You thank too. You. Mark in Santa Cruz, you're on the air on KSCO. Mark.
Yeah, life is as simple to me as a battle between good and evil. There's been war and hatred almost from the beginning in the concept of time. And if it's not us to police the world, I don't know who it would be. You're not going to find the Chinese or the Russians going around with much love and compassion such as our American souls trying to bring peace to the world. I don't like it any more than anybody else. And, Colonel, I will never, ever, ever be able to thank you enough for your service,
right.
The men that served with you, the men that served under you, above you, all those that came before you and those to follow. I, for one, am ever indebted to each and every one of you. And just remember this, Colonel. There's more people that appreciate you in this world than there are not.
Absolutely.
Godspeed,
oh,
that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Godspeed, my friend. I love you, Kay. And, Kay, you remember something.
What?
There's a thing called psychological warfare. And anything and everything that can be used against our troops and the destruction and the demoralization of this country and the people in it, as well as the good people around the world, it will prevail if we don't, try to put a stop to it. So
yeah.
I just want to tell everybody a happy, wonderful Easter Day weekend, okay?
Yeah, I'm sorry that I used the word foolish, but it was in a loving way.
I understand that, Kay. You know, my problem isn't so much with my military as it is with my government.
Mm-hmm.
I love the founding principles of my country. But the guy that's currently in charge, there's an old saying, the fish rots from the head down.
Absolutely.
And I'll just leave it with that.
Okay.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate
thank
it. Daniel in Watsonville is our next caller. Okay. Daniel, welcome to the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO.
Yeah, hi. I agree with Kay. I think, I think those kids are foolish going over there. I think when they get a little older, they'll figure things out.
But we love them anyhow.
Well, sure, I agree. I don't hate them or anything.
You don't think
I think
foolish.
They are foolish.
I think you've changed your thinking a little bit on that, Ma. I don't, right? No.
Nope.
Oh, when okay. When I was that age, I thought about going in the military. Now I'm almost 50. I definitely would not, seeing what's going on. As far as I'm concerned, I think it's clear we're empire building. We have people in this country, in the world, who basically want to control everything in the world, and that's why we're in all these wars. It's not benefiting the American people at all.
Nope.
We're out to dominate the entire world. And Saddam Hussein was a bad guy, but I think, pardon my language, but he was just a pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. And we had to get rid of him, and we had to. This is all we're doing around the world. We're just going in. It's just total control.
And we're growing broke.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally broke.
It's not us. It's not the American people. There are people in this world who want to control everything.
Right.
And anybody who gets in the way. Those people in Afghanistan aren't going to go along with the program. And unfortunately, our young men are being used as pawns in this.
Right.
Take these people down. I think it's evil, and I'm very opposed to all of this that's going on.
Just as another comment, too, to you and everybody out there. Well, when you do find a war you like, just hope you've got a bunch of warriors willing to throw their lives away at it.
Well, to protect this country, I would definitely give my life. But we're not protecting this country being over there.
All I'm saying is just make sure you pick your war that you're willing to throw their lives away at and hope they're there.
Well, I'm saying it's foolish. So that's all I have to say. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. Here's my precious high school government teacher, Soquel Bob.
Oh, wow.
Bob, you're on the air.
There are a lot of things I'd like to say, but there isn't time. I'll just quote General Douglas MacArthur, who President Lyndon Johnson on his deathbed and said, please get out of Vietnam. It's a no-win war. We're not going to win because it's primarily a guerrilla operation. And MacArthur knew about that because he served in the Philippines after the Spanish-American War with his father and saw what a guerrilla operation was. Also, I want to mention Robert McNamara, who was the Secretary of Defense under Johnson and Kennedy. He repudiated his support of the war. I could mention a lot of different people. As far as Afghanistan is concerned, it's usually been called the graveyard of empires. The Russians were kicked out there, the British were kicked out there, and you don't see the Mongols there anymore either. It's a no-win situation. And I don't know why we're there. I do. I might also mention, as far as the military operation is concerned, the cost of the military isn't in the budget, which is submitted to Congress for approval. They don't include that. So where's the money coming from? Coming from us. But the money's not the important thing. It's the loss of lives. I could go on and on. If you want to read a good book about Vietnam, I suggest The Best and the Brightest by David Halberstam. So any...
Okay, Bob. Thank you so much for calling. Good to hear from you, okay? You sound great. Talk to you later. That's Soquel Bob. Listener, Perry in Watsonville, you're on the air on KSCO.
Hi, thanks. Yeah, just real quick. It's a good show, but I think it's just a little bit pointless to be arguing whether we should be there or not, because our own defense secretary says he doesn't care what we think, that they're going to do whatever they want to do. So I don't think we're going to leave. You know, there's billions of dollars of heroin money coming out of there being funneled to the CIA so they can run their black ops without congressional approval. So, you know, there's oil and all that, but there's the heroin money.
Ma, you're believing what Perry says, and the colonel is incredulous.
What, he doesn't think that heroin's being trafficked out of there?
Well, there's no doubt that heroin's being trafficked out of there, and that's one of the main responsibilities my son has right now in the southern part of southwestern portion of Afghanistan, is trying to get the poppy fields done. But that money right now is being goes to the Taliban, goes in through Iran and several other things. They've got bank accounts in Dubai, and then what they're doing is they're buying their operating capital. So yes, there's all kinds of heroin there, and there's lots of people trying to eradicate that. But you don't eradicate a crop that's been growing there for thousands of years, well, probably hundreds of years. I don't know.
Yeah, it's increased tenfold since we've been there.
Well, I don't think that's supportable.
Well, you could ask Pat Tillman, but he was fragged for talking about it.
Oh, come on.
Now, as far as, you know, supporting our troops, I think it's great to buy them chocolates in the airport, but when you got guys like Henry Kissinger running the show that calls them stupid animals, then you got a real problem. They're being used for very crass globalist means. This doesn't have anything to do with spreading democracy or freedom. It's all about power and money, and that's all I got to say. Right.
Thank you for saying it, Perry in Watsonville. Here's Don and Salinas, our final caller for the day. Go ahead, Don. You're on KSCO.
Okay, yeah, I want to let the colonel know my father was a combat marine in World War II. He served in Saipan, Tinian, Guam, Iwo Jima. And he also served with the China Marines, which he had a lot of respect for. He loved the Marine Corps. He loved everything about the Marine Corps. But he was a conscientious objector in the Korean War. And for this reason, his opinion was the military, no matter what you are, you're a tool of foreign policy to whoever's in power. And he saw what was going on, that they were just wanting to build up a large standing military and try to use it to exert United States influence around the globe. And he was totally against that. And
I respect him for that, by the way.
What's that?
I respect that decision, because that was a personal decision, and he made his call. That's good.
Right. And you know, he had multiple Purple Hearts, Silver Star, Bronze Star. He was a highly decorated Marine, and he spent 2.5 years in almost constant combat. He wasn't afraid of fighting. but he didn't like the fact that the Marine Corps ended up being a tool to whoever was in power at the time, which is what's happening now. So the Marine Corps, the Navy, everybody, they're very honorable organizations, great organizations, but they're being misused, mishandled, totally different from what the Constitution was set up in the first place to use them for. And what we need to do as a people is stand up and tell our leaders what to use our military for. That's pretty much my opinion.
Thank you, Don. And that's the time. That's the end of the program. So thank you for calling KSCO. I want to thank Colonel Ed Leskowitz and my mom Kay for participating in one of the best Saturday specials in a long, long time. Thank you so much. And I think we got a lot accomplished. A nice dialogue, a nice respectful dialogue. So that's about it. Coming up is a great program with Perspectives. And thank you, Rick O'Shea. Great job as always. We'll see you next week.
That's all.
KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 12 noon. Here's Fox News.
I'm Karen Regal. The mayor in St. Louis is hoping to have flights taking off and landing at Lambert Airport by tomorrow after a twister hit the airport last night.
If I had a nickel for every sheet of plywood that was brought to this airport today over the course of the last 24 hours, I could go on a very nice vacation. They have been very quickly trying to put up plywood where they had windows that were blown out until they can get glass put back in here. This is part of the process of trying to get this place at least operational. But according to the airport director, the FAA and the TSA says if they can get electrical power here, they can get to 70% capacity tomorrow. They can get up to 100% capacity, they think, by mid-next week.
Fox's Steve Brown reporting from St. Louis. A human rights group says the death toll in Syria after 2 days of anti-government protests may be as high as 120.
Yesterday was the deadliest day in this five-week ongoing clashes in Syria. President Obama yesterday called the violence that it needs to end now and said that it was outrageous. The Syrian government responded saying that they were unhappy with President Obama's claims. And as long as Assad's planes and tanks aren't being used against his people, it's likely that he will be able to continue putting the pressure on these protesters. Now, if the West does intervene, it's unlikely that it will. The U.S. government has said that they don't have any intention of intervening. But if they do, it is likely that Iran will step in.
That's Fox's Rena Ninen reporting. The Libyan Air Force has carried out its first Predator airstrikes in Libya.
The Pentagon is not disclosing the location where it occurred, but we do know for a fact that in the very early morning hours, there were NATO airstrikes here in the capital, Tripoli. A little after 1 o'clock this morning, local time, we could hear NATO aircraft in the skies above, and then we heard anti-aircraft fire.
That's Fox's David Lee Miller reporting from Tripoli. I should, of course, said the U.S. Air Force. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Stay connected to Fox News Radio for your favorite talk shows, newscasts on the hour and half hour, and the podcasts that take you a step deeper inside of Fox News. Don't miss a single minute of Your World with Neil Cavuto daily by subscribing to the Daily Podcast.
I'm Neil Cavuto.
Get news and insight on Wall Street and other market activities, and get a wrap-up of the business news of the day.
Don't tell me about federal programs that stick to their budget. They don't.
It's Cavuto, when you want it, and where you want it. Subscribe now by going to foxnewsradio.com and click on the podcast button for Your World with Neil Cavuto. And check out other Fox News Radio podcasts, including John Gibson's My Word.
Hi, I'm John Gibson. You can get My Word every day for no holds barred opinion on the big stories of the day. Gibson, when and where you want at foxnewsradio.com. Just click on the podcast button.
Less than a week to the royal wedding.
Tuning up, one of the two dozen or so military bands and church choirs taking part, and when the newlyweds leave Westminster Abbey, the procession will look a lot like Charles and Diana's wedding. 5 horse-drawn carriages, lots of uniforms and polish. As the royals parade to Buckingham Palace, hundreds of thousands of spectators will then await the moment when William and Kate appear on the palace balcony and... What happens afterwards, the private royal partying, is behind closed doors. In London, Alistair Wang, Fox News Radio.
By the way, the royal seating chart for the big day is out. In a break with tradition, the late Princess Diana's family will sit on the bride's side of the aisle. 16 years after Oklahoma City, police officers are sharpening their anti-terror skills.
On a windy Tuesday morning, some 300 people gathered at the Oklahoma City Memorial to mark 16 years since a bomb went off, destroying the Murrah Federal Building. 168 people died.
Betsy J. B.B. McGonnell.
Nearby, a counterterrorism program is held, emphasizing the importance of detailed police reporting to prevent future attacks. Police officers say being next to the memorial creates a heightened sense of urgency to do a good job. For a young survivor of the bombing,
may all who leave here know the impact of violence. May this memorial offer comfort, strength, peace, hope, and serenity.
Oklahoma's governor says the memorial is a testament to the victims and rescue workers. Jennifer Kuiper, Fox News Radio.
Thousands of people travel across San Francisco's Golden Gate Bridge every day, but people who cycle over the bridge say they're being unfairly targeted. Lawmakers floated a plan to impose a 5-mile-an-hour speed limit near the bridge's iron towers. Cyclists say that's way too slow. The fine is $100 for each violation. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
12:05 on this Saturday, April the 23rd. You're tuned in to KSCO Santa Cruz. I'm Rick O'Shea with an update on your Central Coast roadways. Pretty clear outside. The sort of lukewarm temperatures that we've had are definitely keeping otherwise a lot of spring break families from coming down to this area. South 17 had some problems earlier today just off of 85 connector. Things are moving at the limit once again, so it's not too bad. North 17, pretty stall and accident free. You might run into some slow-moving pockets, though, at the summit and again at the Lex. KSCO weather today, a mix of clouds and sun. Slight chance of rain. Highs will be in the lower 60s. Cloudy again tonight and tomorrow. Tomorrow's highs will be in the middle 60s with winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. 60 degrees outside KSCO studios. Time for Perspectives on KSCO.